Welcome to High Strangeness, where we ask questions and explore all that is strange and unexpected in our reality.
Hey, welcome to High Strangeness. Today we're going to take a few minutes and talk a little bit about aliens. Today it's just going to be Anthony and I chatting and sharing what we've come across with you today. Anthony Hernandez is the host of Family Health and Hustle, another podcast, a great podcast I encourage you to listen to. And from time to time, he will join in and be part of our team that talks about this awesome topic, which is strangeness. Anything you want to say? Anything new coming down the pike with your
podcast? No, I'm just hustling. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and hang out and learn about some stuff. I get to be on this panel, but a speck of some of the strange things that are going out there. I know hardly any of it. So it's been awesome to talk to you about it a little bit and see some of these things that are going on, especially some of the topics we're talking about today. I had no idea. So, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I thought I knew a lot about UFOs and UAPs, but as I've really focused in and started looking at it, there's a lot out there. A lot of things. And one of the things that I think many people are not aware of is all the different types of alien species that are thought to be not only out there in the cosmos, but actually interacting here on Earth with humans. If you think about just what society has talked about and shown over the years, you know, we think of a couple different types. But today we're going to dive into it a little bit and talk about one of really many species that they say have or are continually interacting with humans. So I am going to share my screen here and then we can talk a little bit about it. You know, one of the interesting things about this subject, aliens and UFOs, is just the way over the years society has addressed it and kind of talked about it. And one of the things that I think is funny is the way in media, TV, and movies that we've portrayed aliens over the years. Right here on the picture, we see Mork and Mindy, a show from the 70s, which was hilarious. It's about an alien who came at a certain age and he would get younger over time. And then Third Rock appeared to the right from the sun. That was a funny comedy that was out there. And then back in, I think, the 60s was My Favorite Martian down here. Did you ever get a chance to see any of these shows?
So I saw, like, the My Favorite Martian, like, the new, there's a remake of it that Disney made with the guy who plays Doc from Back to the Future.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't forget his name off the top of my head, but... So I've seen some of that. I've seen a few episodes of Third Rock. I haven't watched it in its entirety, but I've never seen Mork and Mindy. The picture looks familiar, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, this is Robin Williams right here when he was a young guy, and he was hilarious, and she was pretty cute too. So it was a fun sitcom to watch. I'm not sure how many seasons they had, but it was fun.
Yeah. One thing I thought, I saw an interview with his President Obama. He did a late night interview, and a late night host asked him about aliens, and you know they just kind of jokingly brushed it off, and then the late night interviewer, the host, was like, "Well, you know, could you even tell us if it was true?" And he got very serious, and he says, "No." And I had watched a commentary on that, and they said that to kind of subdue the questions of aliens and to learn more, the media, the government, they try to make fun of it as if it's not realistic. And so when I see these are all comedies. Yeah. Right. You rarely see, I mean, minus a horror movie or a comedy, you rarely see something that's like trying to be as possibly realistic when it comes to extraterrestrials. And so I thought that's interesting that we're always painting them in a goofy light or a really scary light. And I think there's reasons for both. Goofy being, don't take this serious. It's not real. It's not for real. But then on the flip side, or, you know, fear generates a whole different type of emotion, and it's typically fear that, you know, causes us to maybe react a certain way, you know. And so there's two different ways to look at it. But anyway, I think that's interesting that the media mostly portrays it as a joke.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it makes you wonder, like, at least with these three pictures here, you know, were they pushing the idea that everybody out there that could exist in the infinity of space, are they going to look just like us? Because these guys look just like us, except for the strange antennas on top of that his head. But pretty much, they used to go up and down when he didn't want to use them, so he would look human. Let's move on to the next set, which I don't know if you've ever seen this one either. This is ALF.
I think I saw that when I was little, because I think I had an ALF doll. But I don't remember anything about that. I just remember in like the teenage years pulling an ALF doll out, being like, what the heck's this?
Yeah. Yeah. And I never really watched it too much, but it was a comedy as well. And he lived in this house and interacted with this family and that sort of thing. But of course, over to the right here, we have probably everybody recognizes this is E.T., one of the biggest movies of the 70s, made a crazy amount of money. I think it was Steven Spielberg. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was a crowd favorite, and he really hit the sweet spot when he came out with this movie because it was interesting for everybody, and it also really worked well for kids.
Yeah. Great movie. And it was perfect. It was like a family movie. So, I mean, again, one of the rare combinations of funny, but also lighthearted things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here you have very different looking aliens, nothing like human, but it was interesting that they portrayed these aliens this way. This is a newer series that I can't remember the name of it. I meant to capture the name of this. It's just a few years old, maybe 6 or 7 years old. This was an interesting one where this fella, to everybody else, they would see him like this, but he really looked like this. So he had a way of camouflaging himself or creating in everybody around him they would see him differently, like a human. And it's also a comedy, but it's more PG-13 R-rated, kind of funny.
So. Yeah, interesting.
And then, of course, this is probably the biggest and maybe my favorite movie, which is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I think you see these aliens coming down, and this is one scene towards the end of the movie where the UFO ship came down and actually interacted with humans, or the military, really. And they actually returned a lot of the individuals who had gone missing, like through the Bermuda Triangle and that sort of thing. It was pretty neat.
It's been a long time since I've seen that. I mean, I probably haven't watched that since I was little. I just remember it being really weird. I don't even remember that part as far as things being returned. So I need to rewatch that because I think that's the favorite of many people.
Yeah, I would definitely say watch it for those who haven't. And then for those who haven't seen it for a long time, go back and watch it because it was really a pretty good movie. And there is some that say that this movie was produced or written based on information received that Steven Spielberg received that was real. And this is what he did. He portrayed it this way in this movie.
That's interesting.
In fact, there's a French scientist that runs the group that actually interacts with the aliens. And it's that character is based on a real scientist. His name is Jacques Vallée.
That's interesting. A lot of these movies, too, like, and we don't realize this because, you know, who would think that this much detail would go into it, but some of these movies, maybe this one, maybe other ones, actually bring on professional advisors. Like, I know there's been a recent, some recent Netflix films that were a little more edgy, dealt with a little bit more of catastrophic topics, and they brought real military people in to say, like, if this was going to happen, how would it happen? And so I completely believe that, you know, it's potentially that they could have brought someone in that they had got wind that might know a little bit about this information, and that person said, well, if it was going to happen, this is how it would happen. So who knows? Yeah. I'm sure there's someone out there that would know for sure if that was the case, but.
Well, it's interesting. Once again, people should watch it if they haven't. If there was going to be an interaction between man and ETs, the way they go about clearing out populations so that they could actually have this happen is probably exactly what the government would do if it was to really go through this. So it's really interesting. Okay. Let me, you know, the question here is, you know, why are we even talking about different aliens today? And I think, you know, most people have a view in their mind of what they probably look like. Oh, there's probably like the grays and maybe one other kind. But there really is not only a reason to believe there could be others, but there's also a lot of sightings for very different and varied types of looking UFOs. And so that's one of the reasons why I really felt like this was a good idea to do this as an episode. But I do want to share a news story that actually I think will help also lend to this possibility that there are more here than just us.
Before we play that too, I want to add sure. that I had no idea there was so many. I mean, you sent like, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, like 14 or 15 different species of potentially extraterrestrials. And I had no idea. I thought there was little green guys. And then maybe, you know, my opinion is maybe there's some that look just like us, like some of those pictures and posters portrayed. Is there really a plethora of all these different species that are visiting here? Or is it just maybe one species that's coming here? But when you also look at UAPs, they're so different, right? So I don't know. Maybe there are many different types of beings visiting and keeping an eye on us.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with this story here, and then this should kick us off into looking at the rest of these.
In 2013, former Canadian Minister of National Defense, Paul Hellyer, declared that the United States government and other governments around the world are working with organized groups of extraterrestrials.
Why do you say that UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying over our heads?
Well, because I know that they are. And they've been visiting this planet for thousands of years. And there is what is called a federation of these people.
Paul Hellyer was a former Deputy Prime Minister of Canada and a former Minister of Defense of Canada. He was able to talk to a lot of important people within the U.S. and Canadian system. And it was his opinion, based on the sources that he had, that there are many groups that are here visiting us.
Paul Hellyer is not the only government official to come forward with alleged knowledge of a federation of extraterrestrial races.
Recently, the former Israeli chief of space security, Chaim Eshed, came out and said that there is a galactic federation and that indeed many world leaders know of and are in talks with delegates of the galactic federation. I don't know what to make of that claim, but when you have enough of them, a pattern emerges and it starts to take on a bit more gravitas in functioning as bona fide evidence.
Dr. Chaim Eshed claimed that the extraterrestrials in this galactic federation were in contact with governments around the world. It's a fascinating idea and one that may well be true.
Should the sensational claims made by Paul Hellyer and Chaim Eshed be believed.
What's interesting about this too is it only some world leaders that know and are part of this, or is it all of them? And if so, why aren't they sharing that with the public? I understand for like security reasons, if it was just the US or just Israel, you know, or a couple countries that didn't want maybe some, you know, more aggressive company or more aggressive countries to know about it or to be able to be a part of that. I understand that. So, I mean, I guess what is, you know, does Germany and Russia and all these world leaders, our president, everyone know about it? And if so, why aren't they just sharing it with people? Because I don't know if people would be that freaked out, to be honest with
you.
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think if, I don't know, like I said, I understand them hiding it for security purposes to get a leg up on some competition. But if everyone knows about it, then I don't know what the point of hiding it would be.
Yeah, and there's definitely lots of theories out there, which we won't get into today, but some of them make a lot of sense about why governments are not interested in sharing this information, and we will definitely talk about those in future episodes. So, but it's interesting, and I wonder as well how many people do know. Let's go back to this here. Okay, so let's start off then. I mean, we're going to start off with the stereotypical alien that most people think of, and that is the little gray aliens that are considered to be, you know, 4 feet tall. And they are, you know, they ever since Roswell in that time period, this is the type of alien that has been described as part of that process. In fact, they say through the alien crash or the UFO crash in Roswell that there were three or four of these beings that were actually in that crash. And so, but, you know, it's not only that. There are a lot of sightings and there are a lot of abduction cases that have happened over the years that involve these little aliens.
Gray aliens, also referred to as Zeta Reptilians. I don't know who comes up with the names, but that's interesting.
Well, they're supposed to be from that part of space. There's like a planetary system that's called that, and that's where they're from. So it is interesting. As we go to some of these other pictures, I mean, it's interesting. These guys are human-like. Their bodies are small, gray skin in color mostly, hairless, large black eyes. They lack certain human body parts like nose, ears, sexual organs. And their bodies are really kind of depicted as being elongated, skinny, you know, but small, like 4 feet tall, that kind of a thing.
What would you think
if you saw one of these?
I don't know. Like the fact that there's no reproductive organs, or maybe there are, but just not in the traditional way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some theory and information out there that says it's unclear whether these guys are, some kind of a drone or, you know, some kind of a robot or something. Or if they are, some say that they have been messing with genetics and have basically over time eliminated certain things. And this is why they're interested in us, is because they're coming back and doing abductions and they're trying to capture some of the genetics and things from us. And so that's why really a lot of the abduction cases are centered around these guys.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's a known, well, actually, really the first big abduction case was in 1961. People can take a look at it. It was called the Betty and Barney Hill abduction. And I actually talk about it in a previous episode, episode number 5. But it's definitely something that they describe these aliens that had abducted them. And there was short ones and actually tall ones too. And they did different tests to them. They took semen, eggs, things like that from them. And that really started off this whole big thing. And many, many other abductions since then of people who are separate and don't have anything to do with Betty and Barney Hill have described the same sort of thing over the years.
Interesting. Do you yeah. In that episode 5, do you go over like the actual story of how they said everything happened?
No, I just pretty much give an overview about them and the Betty and Barney Hill. So I mostly spend time with that abduction. But even not a whole episode, just a small portion of an episode.
Interesting. It's always, I mean, it's not impossible, but I just think of if a being is advanced to travel across the stars and then they like show up and they're sticking things up people's butts and stuff, like what? Or, I mean, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a pretty elaborate story out there about why they do these things. And it is to try to recapture some of the genetics that were lost. They over adjusted themselves, tried to eliminate things that weren't necessary to the point where they could only replicate through cloning. So they were trying to recapture some of the things that they had lost, I guess, is the story.
It's the latest Man of Steel movie in 2012 is what that reminds me of on Krypton. Like they have everyone's born for a purpose. Everyone's genetically modified to fulfill a certain role. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what that reminds me of.
That's definitely interesting.
Except Man of Steel would be that he looks cooler than these guys.
He definitely does. So these are the Greys. The next entity or alien species they're actually called the Nordics. These guys they're called that because they resemble these Norse gods. They're tall.
If I was going to be an alien, this is how I'd want to look.
Exactly, right? These guys are studs. but they're also believed to be finely toned, athletic, and all that stuff. Let's see here. Next picture, though. The women are pretty pretty, too. They look pretty good. These are depictions of what people have seen who claim that they've met these. Now, it's interesting because the Nordics, you know, we know about the Greys. There's a lot of abduction cases, a lot of sightings. These guys are actually the second most, the most that have been claimed to have been really not abducted. These guys don't abduct anybody, but they do interact and they talk with people and, you know, they're supposed to be compassionate and caring.
So the question is, how do you identify that they really are aliens? Like, I mean,
right.
These look like athletes and models. And so if someone comes up and they're having that conversation and they're like, by the way, I'm from another world, you know, how's that conversation go?
Exactly. That's part of it, I think. And I think that's why they can blend in. A lot of the belief out there is that a number of these alien races not only can blend right in, but actually are living here. They do exist already on this planet. I don't know. Interesting. Move to the next picture. Go ahead. This is one reason why you might notice them. They are believed to be between 6 feet and 9 feet tall.
Yeah, that's definitely being noticed.
Yeah.
But, you know, in biblical time, they talked about giants, you know, yes. Freakishly large beings. And I'm sure someone has figured out what the size of those people would be and stuff. But I don't know. I'm not saying they're aliens, but I'm saying, like, this would not have probably been uncommon at a certain point throughout biblical history to see a village or a people that were just much larger than anyone else. It'd be a little weird today, I think, but or definitely not as common.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing too is, not to digress too much, but you know, when Hitler was trying to purify and cleanse and remove races, his thing was he was focusing on this one physique or this one type of human, which really resembled these Nordics. I mean, he said the ultimate species was blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, which he wasn't even.
Which he wasn't.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because if we dive into some of the things that the Nazis did. Someday maybe we'll look at that. There is some belief that they had the opportunity to gain some technology from somewhere. And so maybe he was exposed to these guys. I don't know.
Interesting. I do know. I do think, you know, not to go too far off that path, we can kind of get back on topic, but Hitler did have a lot of interesting side projects, you know, where he was sending expeditions to look for certain things or, you know, research extraterrestrial or look up, you know, in the North Pole or Antarctica, whatever it is, you know, I've heard stories of how he would definitely have this side thing. I mean, he did tests on twins to see if there's any psychic type of connection. I mean, he was just, was, you know, looking for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. He definitely was looking for every bit of power and ability that he could, you know, this story alone, well, not with the Nordics, but just Hitler himself. I mean, when you go back and watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, the original movie, you know, it really is well done when you think about it in terms of what Hitler was trying to do at that time.
Yeah.
And how he would really pursue, you know, knowledge and ability from places that most people just didn't acknowledge, you know.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right.
So real quick before we pass on from the Nordics, I do want to say that I had mentioned that there's a lot of sightings with these, and there's also a couple situations in the past where individuals had been taken and they saw Nordics with the Greys in the same ship when they were taken upon a ship. Now, it's interesting, but in those scenarios, the Nordics seem to be the one in charge and the Greys almost seem like they were subservient to them.
So, what would the purpose of the Nordics, who look according to, you know, sightings and things that look just like humans, just fabulous, you know, what would be the purpose of them abducting a human? That's what I'm curious about. I really understand the purpose of a race coming and watching us, you know, like trying to see what's going on. I mean, we do that just to far less intelligent, you know, races on planet Earth, animals, things like that, you know. And right. So I get that, but to take one and look at it, especially if it looked familiar, I'm just curious, you know, again, maybe it's obviously internally things could be a lot different. I'm just curious.
Well, let me say this, because you make a good point. The Nordics, as far as I'm aware, when they have taken people, it's been less of an abduction and more of an interaction. I don't think they've done the same sorts of tests and stuff like that that other abduction cases include.
Interesting.
I probably need to look a little closer just to make sure, but I'm not aware of any. So, All right. So let's move on to another one. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it sounds like if I'm going to get abducted, it's the Nordics that I want to go with, because, you know, they'll just want to hang out and whatever.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's lots of stories where they are pro-human. They want us to ascend to a higher level, and that in order to do that, we have to overcome the barbaric nature of a human. So, yeah. Okay, well, this next one is not one that I would like to run across.
Oh, yeah.
These are called the reptilians. These guys are said to be between 7 to 12 to 14 feet tall, humanoid. They have the ability to shape shift, and they have, they say they've been here on Earth for a very long time. It is interesting when you look back at places like Egypt and some of the older civilizations and some of the statues and gods that they have. You know, I always wondered, why do they have like a crocodile head on some of these gods and stuff like that? Some say, ancient astronaut theorists say, that it's because these guys have been around and have interacted with humans in the past. And actually, the belief is that they were pretty barbaric and really kind of pushed humans around. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Well, apparently, people still think they're around, because when I Googled the reptilians, one of the first articles was from The Atlantic, and it said, how to spot the reptilians running the U.S. government. So apparently there is a theory out there that quite a few people are jumping onto that believe that the reptilians are shape-shifting or whatever, implanting themselves in the government. So yeah. I haven't read that article yet, but that was one of the first things I came up and I said, okay, I'm going to have to spend some time reading this because I had no idea that was even a theory out there.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, these guys are big, they're strong, they're fast, they're athletic, much bigger than us. But the interesting thing about them is that they are, this is a female one, kind of. The interesting thing about these guys is they, the reason why they're here, well, the question is, if they've been here, why don't we see them anymore? They're clearly superior to us physically and every other way. So why are they not ruling things openly?
Yeah. Why would they hide?
And exactly. And so apparently what is believed is that another alien race called the Anunnaki arrived at some point in the past. And these are what are considered some of those Egyptian gods, right? And different societies back then. These guys came, they were technologically more advanced than these guys, the reptilians, and they were much more barbaric when needed to be. And they drove these guys underground. And so apparently these reptilians exist, but they're in the cave systems and the hollow earth setting.
Interesting.
But still living on Earth.
When I see this picture, I just think Star Trek, you know, just... Yeah. Deep Space Nine, and you know, it's just stuff that, again, Star Trek didn't make a joke of it, but at the same time, I mean, it's not like something that's taken serious. And so to think that there is someone or something like this out there, and we know, I mean, there's in the Amazon and places around the earth, you know, there's places that who knows what kind of animals or and things are living in there. So, I mean, it's totally believable that there could be something, but I couldn't imagine running into one of those.
Yeah, it would be crazy. Scary. Those guys, big, fast, athletic, muscular. Yeah, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with those guys.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is the Sasani. Sasani is a hybrid of humans and the Greys. These guys, it's because the Greys had mutated themselves to the point where they didn't, you know, through genetic experimentation and that sort of thing, they could no longer reproduce. And so that comes back to why they came to Earth and they've been abducting people and kind of creating a hybrid race, the mix between us and them. That's what's believed.
Interesting. Yeah, pictures online show like the Grays, but with hair, with like a wig and stuff.
Right. It's interesting. When you look at this, you really can see a cross between a human and one of those Grays.
Oh, yeah. That looks like someone you could run into.
Yeah. Let's look at this next one here. I mean, there's different variations. The Sasani, they don't all look like the first picture. They have variations, which I guess could make sense, right? Like if you go across the planet here on Earth, even though we're all human, some of us look very different from others. And so in the same way, they have a good variation of looks between the species.
Is there, how all of these species came about is, are there, like, is this one that there's abduction stories about, I guess?
Yes.
Okay. So pretty much all the species, is there an abduction story that correlates and kind of starts drawing a picture of what they look like?
Do you mean like the reptilians and all those or just?
Yeah. You know, how do we know, you know, there's 15 of them? How do we know there's not, you know, maybe there's 50, maybe there's four. That's why I wonder like how they started coming about where it was like, okay, there's just not extraterrestrials. Now there's these different species that are here.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. This whole belief about the, that group that the two high officials we're talking about.
The Federation of
Planets. Yeah, the Federation. There are many more than 12. There's like 60, 80 species that are in this group. But what I'm talking about and what we're talking about today is just those that they believe have interacted here on Earth. Either continue to or have at some point, or have and will be coming back at some point. Those sorts of things.
Interesting.
Now, these guys, Sasani, apparently those that were born and started to grow, they've actually put them on another planet. The Greys have. And they're allowed to grow and mature and develop there as this new species. Hmm. Yeah. This is another look of one of these. They say that these Sasani have a strong connection with their higher selves, and are believed to be where humans will be someday. Hmm. Now, I guess they say that these are one of about 15 species that actively engage with humans. So,
interesting.
Just to go back to your point earlier about the difference between the Federation belief and those that have interacted with humans.
So the Sasani is kind of like the Nordic Oaks. I mean, not in the look. Obviously, if you're listening to this, the Sasanis are like what you would picture, the little green aliens, except they look more human. They have a little bit lighter facial features. They have some hair. Their complexion looks a little bit more like a human. Sounds like they're maybe a little bit taller and have some more humanoid features. And then the Nordics, who look like friggin' Thor, 7 foot Thor. So essentially they're saying that these two are similar in that higher mentality, that higher understanding of things. The difference is that the Nordics can blend in more here technically. I mean, they are really tall, but they look more human.
Yeah, and they say that, you know, it's from 6 feet up to, what was it, 9 feet, something like that. So maybe they just send the shorter ones here.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's go ahead and jump to the next one, which is the Arcturians. These guys are interesting. They are what are considered to be the most ancient and wisest of the aliens that lived in the Milky Way galaxy. They are the first life in our galaxy, and all other species, ours included, may have descended from these guys. They've mutated and evolved over time and now exist in many forms, but they typically are this bluish color or some shade of blue.
Interesting.
No.
I know, I was going to say, I wonder, too, why, like, the theory of different species of aliens, they never have like regular color, like what we would see as regular color skin. Like, how is it that they, you know, it's always blue, dark gray, green. That's just interesting to me. You know what I mean? Like,
except for the Nordics.
Except for the Nordics, yeah, because they're beautiful. But, and maybe that's just based on where they come from, too. I mean, Arcturians, you know, I guess maybe different plants and different things could change the skin pigmentation, foods, things like that maybe. But anyway, I always think that's interesting too. Like, you just never see like a normal, again, maybe they're, I don't know. It's weird. I'm wondering if there's really just more of like the Nordics where they're just like people all around, they look so different, all the different species, is basically what I'm saying. Is it plays into that role of like, is this real? Right. You know, is it real? Because some of it may legitimately be. But anyway, this is interesting because the minute you showed that picture, I literally thought exactly what you said, having it be an older, wiser alien, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys, they're supposed to have very advanced intelligence. They have the ability to really tap into forces of consciousness and whatever power that we don't have access to yet. You know, they're supposed to have been around for many, many millions of years. And one of the first, like I said, that have been in the Milky Way galaxy.
All I want to know is, are they nice or are they mean?
Right. And that's the other thing it says here. Thankfully, they have a reputation of being the most kind and loving beings of all of the aliens out there.
Oh, that's good.
So we're like their pet.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's going to be my question going forward. Like, when you show me a walking alligator, I'm going to be like, is he mean or nice?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so that's good to know.
So, Arcturians. Next group. These guys were... these guys are called... Well, this isn't them, but they're the Pleiadians. And if you know anything about astronomy, this is somewhere on the sky that they are supposed to be from. And they also are pretty good-looking people for the most part.
I was going to say, I haven't seen pictures. When I quickly searched for them earlier, and I didn't see... well, I guess here's some now, but interesting. So they look a little bit more like people.
Yeah, I mean, it says here that they come from a bright star cluster known as Pleiades and are one of the beings in the Milky Way that most closely resemble humans. So even more so than the Nordics. And that's mostly because these guys are closer to our size. They're not as big, maybe not as athletic. But
you know what's interesting about this too, not to change or go off on the wrong subject, but it's interesting because, you know, we're still trying to figure out where things originated in the universe, right?
Yeah.
And was it an accident? Was there an architect? All this stuff. And it sounds like there's some theories about humans evolving from a species, extraterrestrial. And then you have aliens like this, you know, from however billions of miles, billions of light years away, that look similar. And I just think that's interesting because it's like, you know, we had talked about this on the previous episode I was on, as far as there being some theory that there is intelligence, like matter has intelligence. And to me, this is enforcing that, where it's like species from all over the galaxy, from different galaxies, can have similar structures, you know, have two eyes and then be walking forward. You know, I mean, just little things like that. So when I see things like this that look like people, that's one of the things that amazes me, is I believe that there are, you know, beings that look like that that may not be from around here. And it's fascinating that we would share so much in common as far as physical looks, maybe even internal features and our minds and things like that. So,
yeah, and not to go here for more than just a minute, but I remember reading something years ago. It was a religious author who was talking about UFOs and alien races, and the question had come up to him: well, how can there be other looking beings out there? And he said, well, look, if you really look carefully, even at the world we live in, if you really had never known the different nationalities and the shades of humans, you would think they could potentially be from different worlds. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, that is so true. And he said, man was made in God's image. What is God's image? Maybe it's two arms, two legs, and stand upright. But just like somebody who's Oriental has different... the way their eyes are slightly different than somebody from North America. I think it's possible either way. And that's what he was saying in his book that he wrote. Yeah,
interesting.
Just another picture of one of these Pleiadians. They say that if these individuals, if they were going to be in the room with you, you probably wouldn't even know it. The major difference between them and us is that they are more sensitive to psychic energies and understand the constant streaming energies that move across the universe in consciousness and stuff like that. And they say you can reach them. The best way to reach or connect to them consciously is by concentrating, meditating, and sending out psychic messages. So,
well, I know what I'm going to be trying. So I hope they're nice. Are they nice or mean?
They are. They are very, They're supposed to be very nice. They do like humans. So let's hop to the next one. The next one is Yael, the Yayo. These also look very human. And they are said to be the ones who would be willing to fully disclose themselves to humans first. I mean, they're ready. They want to. They're kind and loving, and they've been touted as the best beings to make first contact with humans. They have advanced technology and have some kind of a harmonious relationship with their technology. Not sure what that means. Maybe they use some telepathic or conscious method to control technology. Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Not to digress too much, but you know, some of the UFO spaceships that have been apparently found that don't have any buttons or knobs or anything like that, some say that they are controlled through consciousness. And so, I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, think about what Elon Musk is doing right now with Neuralink. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe there is a technology, but it's, you know, it's embedded in, you know, in their head, essentially, in everyday life. I mean, they've just essentially become one with that. And for those at home who can't see this, this person looks very much like a human. They're wearing a little bit older style clothing, which I don't know if that's just an artistic choice or maybe there was some theories as to when they were first seen. I don't know if maybe back then. This one looks like she's in the Amazon.
Yeah. She looks like she's wearing, it looks like a Star Trek episode, one of the 60s mm-hmm. episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's wearing something like that. But she's also looks very human, attractive in one way. And
a little bit rougher facial features, a little tougher looking, yeah. But... but
yeah, for the most part. I mean, they say that these Yayo are, they know that we humans are not the friendliest of beings, and they are taking their time as they introduce and interact with us, but they do believe that it's possible to interact with humans. They also believe in presenting themselves or sharing themselves through sightings and stuff like that with very mellow UFO sightings. So like, for instance, the Phoenix Lights, that's the way they portray, or that's the way they expose their technology to humans in a very calm and unthreatening way is the Phoenix Lights, things like that.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that because, I mean, humans, we don't even get along with each other, let alone if a being comes out or comes here. You know, there's going to be... leaders in the world that aren't interested in, you know, that are interested in power, really power and getting a leg up on someone else. And so that's completely believable to me that they could be species here that are hesitant to reveal themselves. Or again, just keeping an eye on us because we, you know, essentially we can't be trusted. Some of us.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to the next one. The next one are really, they're pretty tough species. They're called the Anunnaki. There's a lot of history with their interaction with Earth. If you follow and read up on any of the ancient alien theorists and that kind of thing, they talk about these Anunnaki a lot. And they show lots of old text and different scrolls and different things from ancient times where they refer to these special types of gods like these that dress this way. I mean, if you look at the picture here, he kind of looks like a pharaoh, doesn't he? Just the way he's dressed. And so they say that a lot of these, that this race came in and they not only took over in terms of controlling things, but they also drove out any other alien races that were here, like the reptilians and others. They came in, and because they were superior in technology, power and very aggressive when needed, that it really pushed other alien races away.
That's interesting. This one is, there's some really cool pictures of what they believe these, the Anunnaki, what they believe them to look like. Interesting. I mean, that fits perfectly into, people still can't figure out in Egypt, they still can't figure out what the heck's going on, how they did some of the things they did. So, I mean, that's a big theory. Was it aliens? Did aliens come and were they the ones that taught the ancient Egyptians? Or was the ancient Egyptians, was there a, you know, essentially an advanced society there that was doing these things? And then there was a collapse and like a resetting of the human race, if you will. And we just forgot how to do that or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some evidence when they dig down and look at the base of pyramids and the Sphinx and different things like that, that they actually predate what we think humans have been on Earth for.
Yeah, especially the Sphinx, if I recall. That one's like thousands of years old, they think.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually, at the base, a lot of signs of water damage, which which really goes back a long time. So it's interesting. Just a couple more things about the Anunnaki. They average in size between 7 and 9 feet tall. And it is interesting when you go to some of these ancient pictures and hieroglyphics and things that were drawn. If you go back, I think, even to Egypt, and you look at some of these gods, when they stand next to the regular population, they are much taller, much bigger. And so, you know, this is why they believe that's the case, because these Anunnaki were here. They were bigger, stronger, more intelligent. And we looked up to them and treated them like they were gods. They have a reputation of pillaging resources from any world that they go to. And the interesting thing is, they came to Earth, and what's one of the main things that they tried to mine and capture was gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, one of the strange things for me that I've always wondered is, why do humans covet gold? Why is that so important? It's just metal, shiny, but it's, you know, the base of the money that we use over the years, and it's also something that's highly coveted for as long as man has been around with written history.
Yeah, and it's used in a lot of different things, right? I mean, because it's a, I don't know what the term is, but I don't know. It can be used in electronics and things like that. Like it conducts electricity or is non-conductive, something like that, where it's just, it interacts with electricity, with power in a unique way that is not common amongst metals.
Yeah, in fact, the belief is that the Anunnaki were harvesting or mining this stuff to take it to their home world, because they used it in some way in their atmosphere. I don't fully understand, but there's a whole story about why that is. But I do think it's interesting, going back to just humans and why really do we think of gold as such a big thing? It's very interesting to me, and I've always wondered that from a very young person. What's the big deal about gold?
Yeah.
It says, people say, ancient astronaut theorists say, that we basically look up to the Anunnaki as ancient people, treated them like gods, wanted to be like them. And so we continue to want gold because that's what we saw in the past. I don't know.
Interesting.
All right. This is a Anunnaki woman. And I think they also are pretty big too, but not sure. All right. The next one we're going to talk about is the Alpha Draconians.
Another scary looking
one. These guys, these are scary. They look kind of like the reptilians, but they are a little more lizard-like. these guys are said to be up to 22 feet tall. And they're made of pure muscle, and they kind of resemble either dinosaurs or dragons.
Interesting.
They also apparently had a presence here on Earth. And it is interesting, if you even look back at the Bible and some ancient writings where they talk about dragons and things, makes you wonder, like, where did that even come from?
Mm-hmm.
So some say it's because there was a presence of these draconians here. And apparently they were extremely unhappy also when the Anunnaki got here, because they drove them away.
That's what I was going to ask, who the toughest of them all are. It sounds like the Anunnaki, who look human, which is the funny part. You know, I wonder if it's just the technology that they possessed, or that they were a little, that they could be savage, you know, is what created that theory, as far as them being kind of the ones that were scaring these guys off, scaring several of the races off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you look at, top of the line, alpha beings, it looks like Anunnaki was right up there. And maybe the Arcturians, just from intelligence, mm-hmm. even though they're peaceful, they just apparently are far more intelligent than everybody else. So I don't know. This is the only picture I have of these guys. Some of the pictures that I ran across were really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And what it showed me is that we really don't know what these guys look like. It's all over the place. They just look like different types of reptiles and dragons and that kind of thing. So let me move on to the next one. These guys are the Lyrans.
This one looks like something from Star Wars. If you can't see, this is like a blue girl with Princess Leia hair and some kind of Star Wars like looking outfit.
Yeah, and the big thing that stands out with the Lyrans is they have almost a cat-like facial structure. So, I mean, if you look at this picture right here, there's some resemblance.
Eyes are a little smaller.
Some feline, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A little creepy looking, though.
Yeah. Let me read this real quick. Here it says, thousands of years ago, they reached, this is the Lyrans, a high level of technology and ability to travel in space. Eventually, due to different goals and ideologies, different factions, and they had wars, and they were separated out by various places across the galaxy. These guys, move on to the next picture here, fled from a native system and found homes in different star systems, places like Pleiades and other worlds and star systems. They also were believed to live on the fifth planet from the sun in our system at one point, but destroyed the planet through nuclear war. Now, it is interesting that if you go past the fourth planet in our solar system, which is Mars, there is something called the Oort cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this system of rocks and broken pieces of debris. And they say that that was the home world of the Lyrans at the time. One of the home worlds.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Moving on to the next picture. You can see this one. This guy looks there's definitely some feline
mm-hmm.
look there. And these
that one's definitely, feline looking.
Yeah, this is a couple here, for those of you who are listening, standing next to each other, and they just have their facial structure. Just, it really does look like a cat almost without hair on its face.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, descendants of the Lyrans who developed over a long period of time during conflicts are now interested in our well-being and feel a special responsibility to us because we take their same earlier militant positions and attitudes. So they almost look at us and say, oh.
We can relate, yeah.
Yeah, we can relate to that.
And hopefully, well, that might be another reason for them to reveal themselves to us, to be like, hey, don't do what we did, okay? You guys only have one planet right now.
Right. Yeah, interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't have any details about whether they are super friendly or not, but there's nothing that I could see that says that they're aggressive to humans at all. Mm. So, all right, this next one is called the Blue Avians. And this is interesting slash funny to me a little bit. But this is one of the pictures that I'm going to show that this is how they look. I'm going to just read this here. It says, they've been known since ancient Egypt to have been said to have evolved and make and build construction with ancient Egyptians. So some of their architecture of ancient Egypt was developed or overseen by them, apparently. These guys, another picture here, these are other interpretations, two other pictures. They are believed to be about 8 feet tall. They resemble a blue humanoid bird. They speak telepathically. They even use light through physical touch to communicate with people as well. And they use a blue sphere of some form as transportation, and they can teleport on and off the planet.
This one might be the silliest looking one of them all so far. The reptilians, yeah. Those ones, I can buy that. This one, with a guy with a giant bird head on that interpretation, that one's a little too much for me.
Yeah. I almost feel like the one to the right is more likely. But it is interesting, right? Like when you go back and you see ancient Egypt and some of these other places that had these stone gods, I always wondered, why did they make a god with a bird head?
No, you're right. I mean, they made several different gods that were, I mean, where did they get those ideas, essentially?
Yeah.
And yeah, this looks like that could be one of those.
It says here, unlike other various different alien races, these guys do not abduct humans. They do not seem to have any intention on invasion. They simply want open conversation with people, acting as guides to human ascension and spiritual evolution and development.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that.
So what have you thought so far about some of these? Interesting, huh?
Well, I love the idea that there could be a large room on the moon or somewhere where all these guys are meeting. They're all getting together. They all have different strengths. They're trying to talk. They're trying to come to a common ground with each other. Maybe that's not the case, but that whole idea of a federation of stars or a federation of planets, I love that idea. And I wish we were a little bit further along than we are now. You know, we're kind of the people going, I wonder if that's out there. I'd love to have one of our people in the room. Maybe there is, and we don't know about it. It sounds like if this theory is correct, where they're meeting with members of the government, maybe there really is someone that's in the room from Earth, from the human race. It's just we're programmed from a young age not to believe this stuff, to believe it's sci-fi. And it's very likely that some of this could be real. That's why I like listen to it. Some of what we talk about is not going to be real. Some of it will be perception, theory, craziness, right? I mean, different things. Some of it, probably a surprising amount of it is for real.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, the whole reason why this podcast exists and my whole thought about it is that really when you take the time to look all over the place, you find little bits and pieces of evidence that something else is going on beyond our normal perception of the world around us. And so this is interesting. I do want to, as we wrap up, I do want to go over to here and mention one of the things we haven't talked about, but could easily fall into the same area, is the whole concept of angels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you look here, I mean, the picture here shows different interpretations of what an angel might look like, and even what our, you know, Hollywood looks at Highway to Heaven here, you know, that was their interpretation, one interpretation of what an angel might look like and how they interacted with the human race. I just think it's interesting. But are these guys aliens, or are they other dimensional beings, or what are they? Because, you know, it's interesting because some people believe in UFOs, but don't believe in God. And some people believe in God, but don't believe that it's possible that there's other people living out there, or other beings. And I really do believe there's space for all things.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing's 100% for sure. And I think that not only is there room for God in our life and for Him to exist and angels, but these other things probably have a place in our reality as well.
Well, and the big thing, too, that I take away from this is you have, we've gone over, you know, 13 or 14 or 15 of these species of potentially extraterrestrials, and some of them goofy, some of them beautiful, you know, some of them intelligent or possess things that we could only dream of as a human. Anyway, but what I take from it is, silly or not, no matter what the differences or the similarities are, there are people out there having experiences with something that is not human. And right. The fact that I look at this as not 15 different aliens, I look at this as 15, you know, different stories that corroborate that there really is something out there that people are encountering. There really is something strange that's happening where it doesn't make sense. And that to me says, you know, that is true. You know, when you have multiple testimonies, if you will, multiple accounts, witnesses of something, despite the small differences, you can't ignore that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, as we kind of wrap up here at the end, I will move on to this next page. For those of you who found this topic interesting, believe or actually just want to find out more about the different potential species of extraterrestrials that are out there, I have on the screen right now a book that's out there that's an almanac of the different species and just information about them. They'll talk about where that information came from, but as you do your research and do things and watch things and read up on things, you'll find there's all kinds of stories about how we as humans became aware of some of these species. You can believe them or not, and that's for everybody to decide, but it is definitely interesting to see what potentially could be out there. So, I don't know, Anthony, this was fun, and I want to say thank you for hopping in here and enjoying this topic with me. Is there anything you want to share with the group about anything you have coming up or going on in your podcasting life?
No, but I will say I already believed in aliens. You've given me some terrifying images today. like I said, I hope if I'm abducted, it's by the Nordics or that other pretty race. As far as the podcasting world, nope, we're just trucking along, building up a community of people that are trying to do their best and balance their family, health, and household at the same time. And maybe, just maybe, as part of that hustle or the things that they're balancing are the exploration of strange things, which is why I'm here. Because I think there's many people out there that are interested in this, but don't quite know where to find that information or even they don't know what they don't know. And I'm glad to be here and excited to learn more strange things.
Absolutely. And so everybody listening, thank you very much for joining with us today. In future episodes and down the road, the goal is to tackle and look at all kinds of strangeness, everything that you can think of that's weird, bizarre, strange, or unexpected are things that we're going to dive into and take a look at, talk about, laugh about, and just share information with you. So look forward to future episodes with the co-hosts that I work with on this podcast. I also look forward to interviewing all kinds of people down the road, and I hope you will continue to join us. And as we wrap up, I want to just remind everybody that the world is strange and that you need to keep your eyes, ears, and minds open because there's a lot of strangeness out there. And until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to High Strangeness. This was a glance at some of the strange that exists in our reality.